Warren, it's good to be with everybody. Thank you, Brian, for reading. So, I don't know if you noticed this, but when we walked in today, on the missions wall, the words are up. So we'd like to thank Al, Carrie O, and Pete Brooks for putting those up. Al and Wanda have a framing business. So they also did all the pictures and everything. So they did a wonderful job. So thank you for sharing your gifts with Waterdam. Al and Wanda, we love you. So thank you so much. We have some folks that we need to keep in prayer. Frank is going to have a procedure this week, right? Next week. Couple weeks to help get his heart in rhythm. So we need to lift him up in prayer. Vivian and Carl Anderson, they're asking for some prayer for COVID concerns. Mitchell Shy, they both have COVID, and Jack, they are their grandkids. And then their cousins, Eric and his wife, Jamie, they have COVID too. So we need to lift them up in prayer. And again, you know, Brian touched on it. Beth, her grandmother passed away. So we need to lift them up in prayer. And Colby's such a special kid. He's awesome. We love him so much, so dearly. And it's going to be a big change to him, so we need to lift him up. Thank you, Randy. I don't know if he's in here, but he created the biggest fire pit ever across the street. I don't know if you noticed that, but the building is gone, and it's just a big pit. So thank you for that. Dan was out this week cleaning out the gutters. So there's these little things that Dan does on a Dan Zielinski on a regular basis to make this place run so smoothly, like cleaning out gutters and helping out Marge and doing things all around the church. So what a blessing Dan Zielinski is. So thank you for that. And then just the gifts that everybody here at the church, my goodness, thank you so much for being here, opening the doors. Sean Caldwell is like the mad scientist back there. I don't know if you ever looked, but during every song, he's looking up in the sky. He doesn't even look at any of the Justin stuff. So we're blessed by so many people with so many gifts. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for everybody that that you bless us with, the gifts that you gave them and their willingness to use those gifts for your church, for us. And it's such a blessing. You bless us beyond any measure. We thank you. We lift you up this morning. We think of those that are hurting. We think of the Mahas and the loss of their grandmother and so many other people that have so many health concerns within our body. We lift them all up to you, Father. We put it all in your hands. We ask for healing, obviously, Father. And we know that you are the great physician. You are the great healer. So we ask you to give wisdom to the doctors, patience to those that minister to those people as they heal, and just let them know how much they're loved and how much they're prayed for. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for your word. Your word is true. And Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us so that we can come to you with confidence. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so if you're new, welcome. If it's your first time, welcome. I'm not the regular guy. Regular guy's over here. So we have to be cool. We can't just talk about whatever we want to talk about. And I'm blessed. Whenever I get the opportunity to deliver a message, I'm super blessed by it because it makes me study, makes me dig into the Word. And sometimes I apologize. And I say to you, I'm sorry that it's me, but I'm not going to apologize this week. I'm glad I'm given this message. I'm glad you're here. My method of preaching is expository. So I like to go line by line, explain the verse, preach a little on the verse, and then apply what's in the verse. And that's what I try to do. And this time is going to be a little different. It's going to be way more preachy than normal. So I just want to make you aware of that. And there's a reason. This has been on my heart for a long time, this what I'm going to talk about this morning, what the Lord's put on my heart. And it's because the Word of God is offensive. and it should be offensive. Spurgeon says, Christ offends men because his gospel is intolerant of sin. And those that live in sin, they find that the word of God is offensive. 1 Corinthians 1:18, we see that the word of the cross, the gospel, the word of God, is folly to those who are perishing. And they think it's a joke. It's absurd. It's silly to them. And it's senseless. Our truth is senseless to them because they have their own truth. Anything can be their truth. Believing in a garbage can is their truth. And their truth's okay as long as our truth doesn't interrupt their truth. The eat, drink, and be merry has been replaced, completely replaced, with you just be you. Just be you. How whatever you feel, however you feel. And acknowledging sin is offensive. But the word of God is also convicting. It's convicting the children of God, and it should be convicting the children of God. And at times, the word of God will knock you off your guard, and that's okay. It'll knock you off your horse. When you meet the Lord face to face, just like Paul on his way to Damascus, the word of God knocked him off his horse. And sometimes when we're on our high horse, we need to be knocked off. And it should make you examine yourself. The Word of God should make you examine yourself. And when you don't agree with the Word of God, it's okay. And when you do that, you should seek somebody, somebody that's had decades of being in the Word of God, like Andy or Russ or Pastor Jack. Talk to them about it. Have them explain it to you. And if you still don't agree with the Word of God, it's probably not the Word of God. Probably you is what the problem is. So as we look into the text today, it's weird because Brian was talking about how God intertwines everything, and he does. When we look at the text today, we should either get offended or we should be convicted. And Vody Bakken says this, you should either be saying amen or ouch, and that's what we should be doing. So let's look at the text. Let's go to the text, and it's Genesis 1. We're starting in 26, and we're not going to go through everything. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And we stop there, and we see something. We see the Trinity, because that's important. That's what makes us Christians. That's what makes us different. The Trinity, God is right there. Let us make man. And who's us? Us is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They were all there during creation. And if we turn back to Genesis 1, we see in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the earth. And what do we have? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water, the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was there in the beginning. So you have God the Father, the Spirit of God. And when we go to John 1, the Gospel of John, in the first three verses in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. And he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit were all there in the beginning. And he says, let us create man. Let us make man. Words have meaning. In the English language, I love to butcher it because that's what I do well. But these words have meaning. And the word for man, Hebrew, was Adam, Adam. Adam means man. Eve means life giver, which is huge. If you think about it, God created man, right? And then Eve is life giver, and obviously what a woman is the giver of life, right? Can't have a child without a man and a woman. And that's important. He created man and woman. He created us, right? And there are some really hard things to understand in the Bible. There's some really difficult things. Revelation, difficult book. Ezekiel, difficult book. What in the world is a Nephilim? It's difficult. There are some hard truths. There's some really difficult things in the Bible. But then there's some really obvious, glaringly obvious things in the Bible. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm, to the Psalms. And we're looking at Psalm 139. We're going to look at verse 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intrinsically woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every word of them, the days that were formed for me when I was yet, when as yet there was none of them. We were fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And he created us. He created us male and female. And that's important. And there's a reason that's important. And we need to cling to this, because what the world's doing today is the world is trying to destroy the family. And we see that. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV, watch a movie, watch a Disney movie, and the lead character, their whole family is destroyed within the first 5 to 10 minutes. You have Bambi, whose mom dies, and dad is nowhere to be found in the first 5 minutes of the movie. The Lion King, Mufasa. He dies within the first 10 minutes of the movie. Cinderella, no dad, no mom. She's in exile up in the attic. Star Wars, I love Star Wars. Luke Skywalker, mom dies giving birth, and dad is like the most evil guy in the whole galaxy. So we're programmed. The family, a family that gets destroyed is nothing. And that's of the devil. Because the devil is the author of confusion. There are approximately 78 pronouns for a human being. And we live in this world where up is down, where wrong is right, where children question their identity when they don't even know what an identity is. They're inundated with twisted thoughts. Some people claim in the name of science that a man can have a baby. And we're like, most of us are at this age where we've learned things. And now the world is telling us that we need to relearn how we think. We're the ones with the problem, and we need to relearn it. Men are being emasculated. It's offensive for a man to be masculine. And that's in the media, too. That's in the media. That's in movies. It's in TV shows where the dad, the head of the household, as Christ is the head of the church, the man is the head of the house, and the man is looked at as a buffoon. The dad is looked at as somebody is clueless, who can't work his way out of a wet paper bag. And the man is the head of the house. The man is the head of the household. And does that mean that we rule with an iron fist? Absolutely not. Because without my wife, my house falls apart. I wouldn't know where to go. I mean, I'd have no idea. She goes, you need to go to work. I'm like, okay, that's right. I need to go to work. Like, I'd have no idea what to do without her. So last weekend, we had a little plumbing issue at the Fennell household. So I had to rent one of those snakes, those big snakes, because that's what men do. I didn't want my wife playing in sewage, so I went and I got the snake. and I cleaned it out. Now, Jen could have done that. She could have never picked that snake out of the back of the truck. That thing weighed about 80 pounds. She couldn't have done that. But she could do it. But Jen's the nurturer. Like, I'm the man. I'm created in the image of God. I'm the man, and I do manly things because I like doing manly things. And when I smell like a man, I'm okay with that, right? But Jen's the nurturer. The kids don't come to Dad for a hug. The kids don't come to Dad for those things. They go to Jen because she's the nurturer. She's made in the image of God. She has all the nurturing side of it, and I have all the other stuff. Right. And that's okay. That's okay, because she's made in his image, and I'm made in his image, and that's okay. I'm going to tell you something. I have a secret for you, and men, please don't be mad. Every man's fantasy, ladies, are you ready for this? This is every man's fantasy. This is what, not every man, this is most men's fantasy right now. We dream of slaying the dragon, rescuing the village, and saving the princess. That's what we want to do. I'm a movie guy. I love Rocky. I'm sure a lot of people have seen Rocky. It's this Cinderella story of a man who gets the shot at the title. Okay, long shot. Should have never had that. Takes two whole movies for Rocky to get the belt. And I'm sorry for if you haven't seen it, but Rocky gets the belt. At the end of Rocky II, he just beat Apollo Creed. He just slayed his dragon. And they make this big deal about Rocky being from Philadelphia, so he saved his village. And man, does that village need saved, right? They have the Flyers, you know? I mean, that's not cool. And the first thing out of his mouth, they have a microphone. And this brings tears to my eyes. I know you're going to find this hard to believe. He raises the belt over his head, and they're asking him question after question, and he's beaten, his eyes are sealed shut, and he goes, "Yo, Adrian, I did it." He rescued his princess. He slayed his dragon, he saved the village, and he rescued his princess, and that's what every man wants to do. And ladies, it's going to be hard to believe, but I know what you guys all want. You want a man who is going to slay the dragon, rescue the village, save the village, and rescue you. That's what you want. And that's what God, in his image, that's why God created us the way he did, in his image. The problem is this. The world says when a man is masculine and a woman is being feminine, that that's wrong. That you can cross lines, cross genders. But God created them, man and women, for a reason. And does that make women helpless that the man rescued her? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Again, my household falls apart without my wife. Falls apart. But the problem is sin. The problem is we want to be our own God, and we want to make God in our image. We don't want to follow his rules. We don't want to follow his commandments. We want our truth. So if I say that my truth is a garbage can, that's my truth. And it wasn't much longer after what we read today where something really, really bad happened, where Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to be like God, and they disobeyed God, and then God kicked them out of the garden. And then there was another time when there was sin on the earth that was so bad, and human beings were so corrupt that something really, really bad happened, and God flooded the earth. And then another time, there were a group of people after the flood that decided that they were going to create a name for themselves. They were going to elevate themselves to God, and they built a tower to reach God. And God put the kibosh on that instantly. Messed up their languages. That's why we have all these different languages. Yinzer wasn't even part of that back then. And then when Jesus walked the earth, he confronted the Pharisees. And they were kind of creating their own God. The law was their God. And the law was, it was everything, the law. And they didn't see that this was the Son of God, that he was coming to fulfill it. And after he was crucified and he rose again, God put the kibosh on that too. He had Jerusalem, he let the Romans destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and they have nothing now. See, we can't create anything. We make stuff. We just make stuff because God lets us make it. We don't create anything. And Pastor Jack was saying during the Jonah series, he kept talking about how God appointed things. God appointed the fish. God appointed the plant that covered Jonah. He appointed the worm that destroyed the plant. God creates. God appoints. All we do is we're just moving stuff around. That's all we're doing. And we try to elevate ourselves. And we're really mocking God when we do that. And God won't be mocked. General William Booth, he's the guy that started the Salvation Army. He died around 1919. And before he died, he was asked, "What do you see the church looks like in 50 years, the future of the church?" He says, "I see a church where you have religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." And that's kind of where we are right now. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. You know, we'll share Jesus, share the good side of it, but we don't share the bad side. Like, where are you going to go if you don't have Jesus? So, are you offended by the words of God? Does it offend you? Do you walk through life thinking that your truth is your truth and that's okay, I have my truth and what they believe is what they believe. I can get to heaven however I want to get to heaven as long as I'm a good person. Or are you convicted? Are you okay with people who live outside of his will and you support them in the image that they created for themselves? And you don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to cause a fight. But understand that when you're supporting them to do that, you're supporting them in a way that's going to drag their eternal soul to hell. And if you truly love somebody, the least you can do is have a conversation with them about it. It's pretty deep. But hey, there's some really good news. Words mean stuff. I told you Adam, you know, meant man. Eve means life giver. And this is how cool God is. This is how awesome God is. This is how holy God is. If you look at verse 28, God says, and God blessed them. Words mean things. That word bless means barak. And the word barak doesn't just mean bless. That means lovingly in an act of adoration. So God loves you, loves me adoringly. He adores his creation. He doesn't admire his creation. He adores his creation. He adores his creation so much that even though he knew that we were going to rebel, we were going to sin, he was going to provide a way for salvation. Even though there would be a ton of confusion, confusion from the devil, confusion of gender, confusion of marital rules, confusion of addiction, whether it's drugs, alcohol, material things, shopping, he established a plan for everybody who sins. I'm pretty sure that's all of us. And it's the gospel. He established a way that cuts through the confusion of the devil, cuts through all the chaos of the world. That's through his son. And everybody who repents of all that stuff, regardless of what the sin is, insert sin here, repent of, and for me that repentance thing keeps going on and on, repent and believe. So repent of that sin, turn your back on that sin, and then run to Christ. Run to Jesus. Why? Because he died for you. His shed blood, the shed blood of Christ, washes away our sin. And that's the only thing that needs to happen. It's not Jesus plus something else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone, Christ alone. He rose from the dead. 3 days after he was crucified, he rose from the dead. And today he sits next to the Father. And when Jesus came the first time, he came to serve. He's a servant. But when he comes again, and he will come again, his body will touch the earth again. And when he comes again, it's going to be in judgment. And all who believe and call on the name of Christ will be saved from the wrath of the Father. And that wrath from the Father is not a one-time, one-and-done annihilation. That is equal to the longevity of heaven, and heaven is forever. And the wrath of the Father for those that are in hell is forever. So through Christ, our Lord, our Savior, we are saved. And do we, as people made in his image, do we realize that? We come here on Sundays. I love Sundays because I see people that are made in the image of God that love Jesus with all their heart. We sing these songs. I love it. Sundays, it's a party for me. I love Sundays. Love Sundays. It's the best. I love being around each and every one of you. I love it when we're digging holes. I spent the day with Randy last Thursday, and we were making the big fire pit. I loved every minute of it because of Christ. That's why. We need to share the gospel with people, regardless. When they don't see that God created man and women, when they don't see that we are created in his image, when they don't see that, we lovingly come alongside them and we share the gospel with them because we love them, because God loves them too. They're made in his image, just like we are, and there's no excuse to not share the gospel with them. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, you are the creator. You are the sustainer. You hold us. You create us in your image. And we are wonderfully made. And none of us are perfect, Lord. And you know that. You see us. You know exactly what we do. You know where we were. We know, you know where what we think, what we see. And you still love us. And your plan was amazing. Your plan to send your son. To give his life, to shed his blood, so that we could be saved. So all who call on your son will be with you in heaven forever, Lord. We thank you for your plan. We thank you for the things in the Bible that offend us. We thank you more for the things that convict us, Lord. And we know that the way that it convicts us is through the Holy Spirit, and that's what lives inside us when we are saved. We praise you for everything. And Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made so that we can be with the Father. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. So I was with a bunch of cousins yesterday. And we were all talking about how we were in different age groups because our families are blended, to say the least. And I have a brother that's 17 years older than me, and one of my cousins kept saying, well, I'm an oops child. I was an oops child. And I think, as she was saying that, I kept saying to myself, you're fearfully, fully, and wonderfully made. Like, God has a plan for you. He always had a plan for you. You were never an oops child. You know, it wasn't an accident. R.C. Sproul says there are no maverick molecules in the universe, and there aren't. Like, God is in control of everything. So there's going to be moments when we feel like oops children or we're just not right. Remember that you were fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord, weaved and created. It's amazing. He loves you. All right. Let's hear the words of the benediction taken from Jude, and I'm not going to tell you what chapter it's from, verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. God bless.